Hello and welcome to the PGPC podcast. My name is Jared Kieber. I am your host. As always, you can check out our website, PrinceGeorgePentecostalChurch.com. If you got any questions or would like to drop us a line, you can email me at Jared@PrinceGeorgePentecostalChurch.com. Today, this is a special episode because I have three wonderful ladies with me who recently returned from the country of Thailand. And we made it through the intro. One of those ladies is my wife. I told her not to laugh at me. So we've made it this far so far. So I'm going to start at my left with Caitlin. You're going to be able to say hello, your name, which I already said for you. And then we'll carry on.
Hello, my name is Caitlin.
So that's Caitlin for everyone who's listening.
Hi, my name is Lynette.
We've got Lynette and...
Hi, my name is Megan.
So, Caitlin, Lynette, and Megan formed the dynamic trio. I can't think of a T to start trio.
Terrific.
The threatening trio. I don't know.
Terrific.
Terrific works. Terrific. The terrific trio that went to Thailand. And you guys were gone... How many days total were you guys gone? I should know this because I was, you know, with our children... For that long, but
16
days altogether with travel.
Yeah.
It was a good chunk of time. I know that because I had the girls. It was great. It was amazing. Okay. So the first question that I have here is going to be what made you decide to go? And Caitlin, maybe your answer would be, you know, so you could leave me with our children and have some peace and quiet. They're in the background right now. If you hear anything coming through the speakers, I apologize for that-ish. So what made you decide to go? Well, why don't we start with you, Caitlin?
Sure. So short-term mission has always been close to my heart, something that's important. I think I've felt a call and a lead toward that for quite some time. And so as a local church, feeling the importance of emphasizing that and organizing a trip to kind of begin that within our congregation, regardless of kind of what the team looked like. And it totally was God-led from the beginning, who went, what happened. But yeah, so I decided to go because of my passion for short-term mission.
That's awesome. And I didn't hear any of it because I was chasing our child down. She's trying to watch a show. Lynette.
The decision to go wasn't an easy one for myself. I felt very prompted to go from the beginning, but fought that. Somehow, being a missionary or going to visit missionaries or the thought that maybe I would get called to the mission field was rather frightening. So I was very resistant to go. But in the end, I decided that obedience truly does always bring blessing, and it's much easier not to fight God because he's bigger. So I went.
Jared's just getting juice boxes for the children. So Meg, what made you decide to go?
Well, Caitlin, I'm going to say that you were a huge asset to my decision to go. I know when you had originally had announced that we were going to be taking a missions trip to Thailand, I was very interested in missions already. I just didn't know where God was going to place me in that field. So when I knew that you were heading this up and that's something that you're close to my heart already. So if there's something there I was very interested in, then when we found out that our dates had changed, that really did change a bit of my heart as well. And I just felt like you said, I think truly that God's hand was in this the whole time. The way the dates worked out, the way like everything, mm-hmm. like even like timing for home, like with Presley being in kindergarten and not having to miss that end week and things like that. So that was a huge concern of mine. But honestly, I think it was really you were very much like you and Lynette, knowing that the three of us were going to be, I think that really added a lot of confidence and knowing that we were going to come back with some really great stuff and knowing that we could go and just have that support in knowing that, you know, we can do whatever we want to do and bring whatever we need to bring back. And so, yeah, ultimately, I think the big decision to go was a little bit of a push. And I think that's what I needed. And mm-hmm. I'm glad I did. So that was my decision, I guess.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, this was a while ago already, but we were sitting at your guys' place, mm-hmm. and at that point, Caitlin was back down to the only person going at that point,
mm-hmm.
and Tyler, your husband, realized that and said, okay, well, you have to go because Caitlin can't go to Thailand by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Or and I won't return.
Yeah,
or it was something like that. I think he's watched Taken too
something
many times.
Something like that, yeah.
Probably, which wouldn't surprise me.
I think ultimately, too, is like knowing that I had that support from him and my family, like my little family, like that was huge for me. That was a huge nudge for me in the right direction. So I think there was a lot of aspects, not just my own decision. Mm-hmm.
All right, so when you travel somewhere overseas, which I haven't done a ton of, mm-hmm. Generally you hear people share stories with there's something that they maybe didn't expect, something that was almost a little bit shocking for them. Is there anything when you were there, and this is kind of jumping in the deep end right off the bat, but is there anything that you were there that was just kind of shocking for you, where you're like, man, I didn't expect that, or maybe I did expect that, but it was just more real than what I expected?
I think the extremes, like it was like extremely wealthy or it was extreme poverty. I think that was a big thing. Like I kind of knew that going in, but seeing that literally firsthand, you see this big, huge mall and then you have like this little shack right beside it and someone lives there and there's just no middle. And I think we have a lot of middle in like Western culture. And so going somewhere that far away and seeing that, I think that was a shock for me anyways. So
I think I was most taken aback by just the pace of culture. So like travel, Caitlin, missions trip, Caitlin, it's like get in the zone, like get where you need to be. People are busy. People need to get where they're going. So you kind of get used to that going to other cultures. And so like immediately we get there and realizing the Thai people were so much more respectful and
gracious,
and stood back kind of in their busyness and took turns in lines or just enjoyed moments so much more. And so yeah, I like just took a step back for a few days and was like, hey, what is this cult? Like, what is the dynamic of the Thai culture? And like understanding the difference between that and other cultures I'd been in. It was shocking, surprising. Yeah. A good surprise.
Oh, for me, I think what shocked me the most was truly, they don't recognize refugees in Thailand. So it's the piece around the migrants and the treatment of the migrants in the detention center. And just knowing that in this day and age where in Western culture we all have human rights and, we have human rights over a lot of things that certainly would be non-important in their culture. Was shocking that humans are treated that way. And I think that there's just a lot to unpack around that. That's not going to happen in a podcast, but it was deeply moving and deeply motivating.
Mm-hmm. There was a fire within Lynette immediately after we left
the IDC
center.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, and this is the nerd in me coming out, is that you look at some of the Western culture and some of those ways that we have things set up on a legal level where people are treated humanely is essentially that. And we're trying in Western culture to almost write off our heritage of Christianity, but Christianity has actually had a huge influence on the way that we treat people.
Right.
And so it's funny that we have this moral largely in the West, and we as Christians kind of know where that's based, but in the West we have this moral of treating people well, and we're at the same time almost trying to undercut the limb that we're sitting on, you know, because we're saying, well, Christian values, Christian morals, who needs those? But a lot of the things that we actually believe are moral and values that we hold are based on a Christian heritage that is a positive thing, I think, anyways.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, you guys were there for a chunk of time. what, if you had to boil it down, I know there's a lot of highlights. I've talked to you guys. I've seen pictures of the elephants and the mud. And
that was not a highlight for some of us.
And I think maybe only like 80% of that was actually mud. The other 20%.
It was fairly warm.
Yeah. That's
fairly.
So outside of that, maybe. Highlight. You, Caitlin, when she came home, there was like a bleach tub. Or bleach, what did you bleach? Your watch and a bracelet.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was vinegar, because bleach probably would have.
Yeah, vinegar, sorry.
Yeah.
Probably smelled better after that.
That's a rabbit trail. Anyways, highlight from your time there, if you had to boil it down to one thing.
I think for me, my highlight is just the... The girl who didn't want to go, case God put a missions call on her heart. Surprise. The impact that short-term missions can have and really feeling that, yes, we came back impacted, but we were very appreciated and the work that we did there was really necessary and really appreciative to everyone that we met and were able to serve with or serve. The Christians there's less than 1% Christianity in Thailand, but they work together. And that was really evident. And so for me, that's just a little bit of a thought too around how do we work together with our Christian brothers and sisters here in Canada or here in Prince George. More strategically, I think there's something to be said about that. We're a lot larger in numbers, and what would that impact be? So that was a highlight for me.
That's good.
Kind of basing off what like Lynette said, like we went to a cooking class with a refugee family from Pakistan, and they had the youngest daughter, and she sat there. The girl preached. Like, she...
Young Corey Tenpin. Yeah, seriously. That was, like, in my mind. But, yeah.
She, like, it... For me, coming as, like, a fairly new to faith and fairly new to Christianity, somebody who's in such a different place in life, but still having that unwavering faith in God and knowing that God is good. Yeah. And so she was, like... I can't even put it into words. Like, she, like, filled my whole heart in, like, literally her 30 seconds of preaching. Like, and their whole family, the dynamic, they love each other, and you can feel that love, and they love God, and they know that God is good, and they know that God will look after them. The fact that they were literally, they've been in hiding for 7 years, and still hiding. And so for that girl to be like, you know what, like, she would say things like, you know, if we do get put in the CDC, God is still, or IDC, God is still good. And if we do get separated, God is still good. And, you know, God is going to look out for us and things like that. This girl, literally, like, I could watch her forever because she's so passionate and so strong in her faith. And that was a lot of things that I did see while we were there. Literally, like, yes, they were maybe 1%, but their faith is strong. Like, it's so strong. And watching them be appreciative of us coming over there as other Christians, like, I just couldn't even believe it. Like, they have such a different dynamic and such a different, like, lifestyle there, but they still know God is good and that God is going to look after them. And so for me, that was a huge, like, favorite. Like, that whole day, like, we didn't expect to stay the whole day and ended up being there for what, like, 11 o'clock in the morning till like 4 o'clock in the evening, maybe 4:30, and we ate the most delicious food I've ever. And I think that was just a huge highlight day for me. And like, yeah, we did so many amazing things, but that was a big one. So that was my highlight.
I think my highlight was honestly you guys, like going with Meg and like fresh eyes was so refreshing for me, because I think sometimes. Not that we ever get used to seeing poverty or seeing hard things, but getting to walk that with you on your first trip was beautiful and was exciting to see you grow in your comfort, in your just knowledge there and your comfort in God and your trust in God and stepping out in things and being with Lynette and seeing the fire and the passion growing within her and seeing just like the wheels start turning. And okay, I thought these areas with the kids, that was where I was going to really be impacted. But like your openness to, okay, you know, God's really challenging me in this area of working with the refugees, and how can we impact, make an impact from home? And just like I knew it was a God-led trip, but seeing like firsthand what God was really doing with you guys was 100% my highlight. And I know I've told you so many times, but I'm so grateful and so blessed that you were there with me.
That's good.
Not that you made us cry.
Yeah, thanks a lot. That's good. Got us all in the feels when we knew this was going to be one of those.
That's what I'm here for. So I said kind of off the top, I haven't done a ton of international travel. Caitlin always laughs at me because when we got married, that was my first trip outside of really North America. And we went to the airport in Victoria, and we were flying to, you know, Cancun. And I apparently was saying things I shouldn't have been saying in an airport. Like, I don't know.
That's really not shocking.
Gun or bullets or ammunition.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Oh, I was no. Like, oh, you can't travel with ammunition.
Made it through security and was, like, thumbs-upping to my parents on the other side.
So that's the funny part of this is that, you know, they were all laughing that I wasn't going to get through security. And once I got through the kind of the thing, I gave the big thumbs up. And then I felt a hand on my shoulder, and it was actually a security guard. He's like, sir, can you come with me? And so then I was going to get the full check, I think, but for some reason he let me go. But I know that when we've done missions-oriented things, so I had the chance to go to India, and I had the chance to go to Mexico. Coming back was a pretty significant part of that. And so India, I thought I would have a ton of culture shock. But somehow we got back, and I really didn't have a ton. Mexico, I was only gone for a week, and I came back, and I remember, like, we're sitting in our main auditorium in our church right now for people who are listening. I was sitting where I normally sit up here, and I remember looking over at the entire congregation, which I always do anyways, and this was fully me, but the culture shock was, look at all these people who enjoy their, like, rich, lavish lives, and I, you know, just, like, was freaking out. And it was just that moment of culture shock, right? And so it's an interesting thing. I guess the question I have for you guys out of that was, what was coming home or coming back to Canada outside of jet lag? What was that like for you guys?
Hit the ground running, it felt like, a little bit. But I think the format and the layout of the trip really lent itself to assisting with kind of the processing and I don't want to say the letdown of the trip, but like the coming down off the, we had a really intense first few days, and then kind of as we progressed our ministry opportunities, the intensity of them, although yes, still impactful, the intensity of them was a little bit softer. And then getting to end with a day with Matthew, exploring and doing some different things, and then a few days together at the resort, just taking some time to unwind and honestly just be and float in the water or lie on the chairs, was really good. And then I think it allowed for us to come home, yes, tired and yes, impacted and a lot to process, but kind of had our energy levels, were able to, I don't know, hit the ground running a little bit more refreshed. And I joked going into the trip that we got back Saturday afternoon and I was back to work on Monday, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll be back, like, so refreshed, so ready to go, like, joking about it. And yes, I was tired, but I do feel like God refreshed myself. I'm not sure if you guys would agree, but I did feel refreshed coming back to work. And although there was a pile of work to get back to, I felt, yeah. I don't know if that answers.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's one of the things we forget in a Western culture oftentimes is the importance of rest. You know, I think both Tyler and I were bugging you guys about the resort at the end. Mm. But the reality is, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus had his disciples doing intensive ministry, and he would often pull them aside and just kind of stop and rest a bit. And I think especially when you're doing any sort of intensive ministry, like a missions trip, or, you know, for Pastor Rich's sake, working with me is intensive all the time. You know, having that time to sit back and rest is super, super key.
Yeah.
I would say, like, coming home has definitely been, like, an adjustment. Like, I have come home with a lot of different, I don't want to say, like, thought, like, hard kind of, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it, I think, mm-hmm. and still trying to make sure that I can say things in the right way, but like definitely, like I feel God's presence in the changes that he's made in that short amount of time. I don't handle stress very well, so when I do get stressed, I feel a very like introverted and things like that. So when I came home, there was just kind of a lot. Like, it was, like, mom time, wife time, like, teacher time, graduations. Like, it was very, like Caitlin said, hitting the ground running. So I think I'm still processing, like, all the thoughts and the things that we did. I definitely am tired, but I understand what you mean. Like, I feel spiritually rested. I don't know if that's mm-hmm. a thing, but I feel like I am more, like, prone to study, like the Gospels and things like that, and things like, and then I'm finding a lot of connection in between everything that I've experienced, and even with everybody else's faith, and like spending time with Caitlin and Lynette, I feel like it really was uplifting in my faith. And so coming home has definitely not been easy for me. Like, I've definitely struggled a little bit, not just being tired and things like that, but I think it's just like finding that new dynamic and finding where my new appreciation for God and appreciation for my spirituality fits. So, and the word that fits in my family, where that fits in my job, and you know what I mean? So for me, it's a little bit of a different adjustment, but I think it'll come. And
how do you let your experiences impact
so
beyond? So it's not just an experience, it's actually,
and I think that's a huge thing I'm focusing on right now, is the fact that like, how do I use these experiences that we did, these amazing experiences that we did, and bring them into our day-to-day life and in our culture that we have now. And so, so it hasn't been the easiest transition, but at the same time, it's been a good one. I don't know if that makes sense either.
And I think it doesn't have to be.
And I don't think it's going to be overnight. And I think I kind of went into it thinking, oh, I'm going to be automatically changed. And no, it's a gradual thing. And it's something we will all learn from differently, of course. But honestly, like, watching God work it in somewhere so different than where we are in Thailand and in people, and even though it is such a small community, he's there and he's working, and they're sharing it. So we met some amazing people while we were over there, and I'm very grateful for that. The people that we met, we'll be in touch with them forever now, like, you know what I mean? Like, they were amazing. So that's my answer. That's what I got.
For me, coming back home has been a challenge. I had to pack and leave town again for work right away. So, and I discovered jet lag is way realer, way more of a reality than I believed. So that's been a challenge. I think the other thing that I'm challenged with is not judging and not kind of preaching when somebody says something now that has a new reality for me, given my new lens, just really understanding with a lens of grace that that's something God has shown me, that he'll show other people things in their time. So I've been trying to be gracious with that. I had one person at work share with me, I don't even know what day, when I was really tired in the beginning anyways, that you just something about being just glowing. She could see that on me. And I would say that I've come back with a real excitement, but a real excitement to get busy. And for me, it's about where, just how do we what do we do next to have impact on the things that God showed us. And so for me, it's planning and it's thinking about when do we go back? What do we do in the next year or two to support some of the causes that we became aware of? And just trying to allow myself time to really continue to meditate on the impact of the things I saw, really, and to find that time despite the busyness of life.
So we've talked about kind of the aspect of going, we've talked about the aspect of coming back, and you guys are still fairly fresh back. Like, Caitlin, I think you had said the other day something like every hour that your time zone difference is one day it takes to recover from jet lag.
Yeah, my mom gave me that stat. I feel like it's...
So you guys maybe are like right now...
Halfway.
Getting into there. But, you know, if you look back now... In your, and probably there will be things you'll be able to look back at a long time and go, okay, I've learned this and things will come together. But if you look back now and go, okay, here's one thing I really learned that's changed the way I think a little bit at this point, is there anything that stands out for you guys? Or you could be like, man, I haven't even had the time to process that yet, and that's fine. But it maybe off the top, is there anything that stands out that you look back and you're like, I learned this, kind of changed the way I think?
I think going back to what shocked me the most was that culture and that taking the time to step back, and we're all busy and we all have places to be and things to do, but how can I thrive and enjoy my job and enjoy my family and enjoy the things I need to do, but also, yeah, just take those moments and be okay with slowing down the pace. And even yesterday there was a gentleman trying to go down the ramp at work with a walker and another lady behind him, and the lady was asking me if I wanted to pass, and I said no, like, it's okay, like, I don't mind taking this moment to walk down the ramp with you and just like take a moment to breathe and to enjoy this time. And she's like, yes, that's good. And so Lynette always tells me I'm just this little social butterfly at work, and I know sometimes I need to rein it in, but like in that, like, God has placed me in this position and in this role, and okay, how can I be effective and really focus in on the tasks at hand, but also the giftings and the abilities that God has given me, and how can I impact the workplace and really be an intentional light. And I think that's something I'm trying to remember as well. Like, I'm not just there for a job. The job didn't just fall in my lap. It's not just for the income. Like, I'm there because God provided that. And I'm there because he intentionally wanted me there. And that is my everyday mission field. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. And so, okay, how do I take, I was so impacted by that culture. Like, literally everyone I talk to, they're like, tell me about Thailand. I'm like, it was amazing. Like, the culture there is so amazing. Like, everywhere else I've gone, it's like horns honking and people rushing and no one taking the time. But it's like, there was just this real respect for people there and just this calm. And like, I felt, I mean, within the first few days, Megan kept asking me, she's like, are you okay? You're so quiet. Are you okay? I'm like, I'm just like sitting back. Like, I'm just absorbing this. Like, it's so different, but so great. Mm-hmm. And so I think I probably said 1,000 different things of what I learned in that. But yeah, honestly shocked, but learned so much from that. Like, the culture really challenged to, yeah, apply it.
For me, something key that I learned would be that missionaries are pretty cool people. They're not poor, starving people.
That's pretty cool.
We were extremely blessed to be with Matt and Amber both. And they were just so incredibly gracious and such incredible hosts, as along with other people that we met. I think the other really key thing that I learned was just the opportunity for people that are retiring early or in early retirement or those types of things to go and have impact to be able to even share that with other people around me who are entering that age of their lives. And there's still opportunity for them to do different things and definitely have impact in this world. We met some great people that did just that. Within a year, God placed the thought in their mind, and they literally were able to take care of everything, including their elderly parents back home, and pack up and leave Montreal and retire from their jobs, and are doing great work over there and for the last five years, and are pretty real people. And
they're pretty great.
That was key for me. You know, you don't have to be this perfect Christian to go and to go where God calls. He just does the rest if we're just obey.
Yeah, Lynette had a really good conversation with a friend there, and it was really cool to watch that. Mm-hmm. And it was just so funny. Caitlin was sitting at the one end, and I was sitting at the other end with Caitlin, and all of a sudden I look over, and Lynette and Fran are just having a great old chat. And I was like, this is excellent. And I just saw the, like, the inspiration in your eyes. And I think that also, I just, it was great to see you connect like that.
And I think even to see for Fran.
For sure.
To see that just refreshment of like, I think sometimes there's this question of why aren't we just sending the money? Like, why are we raising all these funds and sending people? Like, wouldn't that money just make a bigger difference? But like to see the refreshment for those global workers to have people from home or like from the same country that they can connect with and just have those moments of familiarity, I think is great.
I think even sharing their story too, because it is a lot different than a lot of the things we hear. Like, you know, like they're a retired couple that, like you said, they, God placed that idea in their hearts and was like, and then they're like, okay, and they did it. And so, and like, they're very real and they're like, it's anybody can do good. And I think that's great. It was just really cool to see. Mm-hmm. It was. looking back, I think something key for me, not so much looking back, but I think now seeing a lot of people, like how many people want to hear about what we did. And so even if they aren't Christians yet or now or yet or whatever, kind of basing on what you said about becoming that light and sharing that those things and just saying like what God's doing over there is really refreshing to me because like, like I said, I'm one of the first ones. So for me, it's really benefiting on how God wants to use me in that. So in knowing like what information he wants me to bring back and share with others. And so, and like what kind of good things we did and things that are being done there. And I think sharing that from a perspective,
And we met, you had got to have a good chat. There was a girl named Om that we met in Chiang Mai, and she is the first Christian in her family. And Matthew was giving her some encouragement the one day, and then Om and Megan got to chat a bit as
And it's funny because Matthew didn't know. And so all of a sudden he's saying these really encouraging words, and then Caitlin sits there and he like kind of like puts her hand on my hand there. We're sitting and we're having this like delicious ice cream thing. But and it's funny because literally I told Matthew later, I was like, oh, just so you know, like I'm kind of was in the same place as Om was. And he was like, you need to you should share that with her. And so me and Om had like a great conversation about it and how, you know, it can be really difficult and but at the same time, really uplifting. And this trip really has just taught me that like once you're in it, you're in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like God is there. God is good and he's good everywhere. And so and a lot of those people, they were so inspiring. Like I said, their faith was just so strong. And watching that, it's very inspiring from new eyes, fresh eyes looking in. And so, and how welcoming they were and kind. And I think that bases on their culture as well. But like, they were so happy we were there. And even in the small church that we were in, like our little studies and our... And like, you know, like it was, it felt like home. It did. I even told that to the pastors. I was like, I walked in and I felt like home. Like I felt like it was church here, and
it was cool worshiping in two different languages. It was like the thought had come to me about heaven and what heaven's going to truly look like when we're all standing before God. And that was just a really incredible moment as well. Of, you know, like we knew what the songs were in English, and we're able to do our English version. But that was a really neat moment. It did feel like home, and I think. That for me, it was thinking about that's what heaven's going to be like.
It was So for me, coming into Christianity and knowing that this was going to be a bit of a difficult trip, and knowing that there was going to be a lot to learn, and there still obviously is. Like I have not learned at all, obviously. But anyway, so for me, when I walked into that small church in Chiang Mai, I felt at home, and I knew that God was there, and I knew that God was with them. And so I wish nothing but the best for those people, and I hope that we get to go back and.
Yeah.
See how they're doing and get updates and things like that. I just feel like we made some true friends and you know, in faith. And I think it was really great. So what I learned is that God is everywhere. God is good. And that.
And there's nothing like a lap full of Asian babies. Let's face
no
it.
Doubt. Oh man.
That was awesome.
That was so great. Yeah. We had, when we were at Agape Children's Home, that was one of my favorites as well.
That was.
I know we're kind of like pushing that one, but seriously, that one was fun. We were very late to that. But the fact that we got to cuddle those babies and just be a part of them and be a part with the nannies and stuff like that. Like, I could talk forever about this trip. But so what I learned is that is what I learned. That is what I learned. Some of what I learned. Yeah. So it's just, I could talk forever. So I'll stop.
So I think, it's good to hear all of these things. I think just trying to tie it together and put a bit of a bow on it, I think it's interesting when we talk about, the idea that a lot of us have of short-term missions is there. You're going to hear things like, well, can I really be effective? Is it going to make change? Why not just send some money? All those sorts of things. And I think that you guys have touched on some of those things. One is that there's going to be an impact on when you're there, right? Even communicating with global workers and being an encouragement to them. I remember when I was a teenager, my pastor was plugging short-term missions, and he said, short-term missions is about the effect you have, but it's also about the effect on you. Absolutely. And I think anybody who does short-term missions knows that there's going to be some change that happens inside of you. And so the other thing I think is that ultimately, if we're people who have been impacted by the gospel, any sort of short-term missions or local missions, anything really should be close to our heart, because if Jesus has pursued us with his grace, and how far has he gone to pursue someone like me? Pretty far, then it would make sense that we would pursue people with Jesus' grace, whether that's locally or whether that's across the world. And I think when you start to tie all of that in together, it leads to one last question, especially if we have people from our church who are listening to this, is short-term missions, if someone's considering it, what advice would you give to them? If you're just going to give them some short advice, what would it be?
Do it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Step out. I think for me, the whole trip was a step of faith from uncertainty of who was going. And then for each one of you, just this step of faith of trusting, okay, God is leading. We have no idea what it's going to look like, but that obedience, and then the beauty in that obedience, I think we really saw.
And I know as humans, we are going to struggle with that obedience. I know I did. And so I think I'm backing up with you guys, do it. Try not to second guess it. Just make the decision and follow through, because you will not be disappointed.
And my other short piece, I think, would be just to keep an open mind. Really, I went with no expectations other than that I was going to be open to whatever God led us to and whatever we could do. And honestly, I think that was a right attitude to have.
I agree.
Just not to have expectations of any of it. It was
I had no idea what I was getting into.
Well, that
which
helped.
Was almost great.
Yeah, like, I think like, we talked about this on the plane.
We didn't know what any of our ministries were really going to be like. And it was kind of nice. There was
it was
no,
like a surprise like, every single day.
Or, yeah.
And, like, in the,
but really let God, I think, be our strength and our source because we didn't know. And we, I think we really had to rely on the fact that in our weakness, He is strong. And knowing that we aren't good enough, knowing that, like, I think oftentimes we want that encouragement of, you're great, you can do it, you are able. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the truth is, we aren't that great, we aren't that able. It is only through God. And so I think a little bit of that uncertainty and the unknown really allowed God to shine even more.
Absolutely. It wasn't comfortable lots
of times. No, and I was going to say, literally, it tested, like, even the decisions that we made to even do a certain, like the certain ministries that we did, like Nightlight and things like that. Yeah. It was like something that honestly I went in, and I was like, like that's what we're doing. And like, but once we were there, how great was it? So good. Right. Like, so I think going in with an open mind and knowing that God will lead you, He won't put you in a place or and know and that you have you those feelings for a reason. And so, and maybe knowing that you will make a difference in that moment and knowing that it is an important moment and it's okay to be nervous and, but also trusting in God that He's not going to place you into something that will hurt you or harm you in any way. Like, I think that was a great thing. So anyway, I can, like I said, I'm just a chatter, but anyways, but no, it was, the advice I think we all would give is probably just step out. And if it's on your heart, it's there for a reason.
Absolutely.
That's good. Well, I think that's a good place for us to wrap up. So
can we do like a shout out to Matt and Amber? I just realized we didn't even talk about them and the incredible hosts that they were. And going from we were originally going to be meeting with the Price family and the Chan family, but due to some medical reasons, the Chan family needed to head back to Canada sooner than anticipated. So the Prices graciously took us on for the whole trip. And then in that really respected and followed up on the plans that the Chans had made. So we got to make those connections that the Chans were working on. And so just, huge props, huge thanks to the Price family for hosting us so well.
Absolutely.
And for really facilitating us.
Yeah. And for the great work that they're doing in Thailand.
Seriously.
Like, really huge impact. Yeah. Incredible people making a difference. Thanks to both of them.
And them stepping out and listening. Like, they both have had some career position changes within the last few months there. And not necessarily things they thought God was leading them to or things they thought they were passionate about, but their willingness to step out in.
And do those things.
And do those changes. Yeah.
That's good. That is good. I don't know Matt and Amber super well. I've met them a couple of times, so I can't really chime in and, you know, pump their tires too much. But it, from what I do know of them.
You missed out.
You did.
They're a solid couple.
They are solid. And their whole family. It was, It, even though I had never met them before this trip, they treated me like one of them, you know, they was great. And I know that we,
And so I think the other thing that I want to share is that if somebody has an extra 50 or 100 or 1,000 in their pocket that they don't know what to do with but feel God maybe is calling them to do something with it, is to speak to one of us, because there's lots of little things that $50 would go a long ways to support in Thailand and in the work that Matt and Amber are doing. So if God leads you there to give to missions, please do speak to us. We can definitely give you some ideas.
Awesome. Good. Well, this has been the PGPC podcast special edition. Everybody's laughing at me right now. Usually I do this in a room by myself and I talk like this for no reason. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.